books.
Okay. I really wish we could drink in here. Oh, I wish we could drink in here. That's going to be the hardest thing. Mm-hmm. I want alcohol. Okay.
You know what you should do is we should get our backpack bladders.
Fill them up with wine. Or have you seen those bras that are...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you just have a straw right here.
Yes, and you could just... You can seal yours, and I'll wear a beer, you know, those caps with the beers on each end? Yeah. With water.
With water. And I'll just be like, drinking out of my bra.
What's happening over there? I'm lactating. I'm wine-tating?
Wine-tating. All right. Ready? Mm-hmm. How do we start our podcast?
Oh, wow.
What do we do? Hi? No, I don't say hi.
Dude, I'm keeping all of this in, by the way.
This is
fucking gold.
Welcome. Hi. Hi. How do I? This is.
It's not. Welcome. Hi.
Okay. All right, guys. Hello. Welcome. This is difficult.
Okay.
This is we're reading dirty books, and I'm Kalina.
And I'm Saylet.
And I forgot how to intro our podcast. It's been a month since we recorded.
It's been... a long time. We were at the library again. Hopefully this time it'll sound a little better. We had some difficulties the first time, so we apologize for any...
Last episode.
Yeah, last episode, if it sounded kind of quiet, I guess. So
we're giving it another shot. Yeah. Does it sound canny?
Yes.
All right.
That's what
at
it
least
sounds like.
I can hear that, too.
Yes. It does. It sounds canny. It doesn't sound echoey. Like, they've got...
No.
They've got really good... What is that? Insulation in here. Mm-hmm. But it really sounded like we're...
Talking in cans?
Talking in cans.
Okay. So,
yeah.
In 3 months when these episodes come out, let us know if you like the library.
Shit.
We'll have recorded, you know, six other episodes by then. But they may or may not be at the library. We're not sure. So,
we just don't know.
You have fun things to talk about.
Yeah, but first I'm going to give you a quickie.
No.
Quickie. We're going to start introducing quickies. And this quickie is, if knowing you will never, ever, ever have your period again, but it meant that you had to become immortal, would you do it? Hmm. We know how you feel about immortality.
I don't like
immortality. Know how you feel about
I
your
period. I
think
periods. It is a terrible thing. And I don't like my periods either. They are also terrible. So do I trade one terrible thing for another terrible thing is the question
yes.
You're asking me. Or do I continue on with life as it is, including a terrible thing?
Yes.
Probably, especially in current existence, the world as it stands, not in any kind of fantasy land, I would choose definitely not to become immortal because this world's on fire.
It is.
And it's all going to burn to the ground and I don't want to witness it.
True that.
So yeah, I think I'll keep my periods and just be unhappy all the time.
All right. I would do immortality and keep my periods. I'm a happy girl. I don't like having them either, but I'm at this point where I'm just like, fuck it. It's just, all of it's dumb anyway. The world's dumb. Periods are dumb. It's just, you know, why not?
So you're just going to...
Just going to live forever hating and, everything.
And have a period every month forever?
I don't think things through. Now I'm
I don't to... know why you would do that. Why is that even an option?
Why is that
who
an option?
Who made that an option?
Who gave that me?
You.
Who gave me that quickie?
You came up with this.
I quickied myself.
This is terrible.
A terrible quickie. Sorry. Anyway, I just got back from Cambodia with my family.
Yeah.
That was that traveling sucks. It sucks traveling with old people, and the kids weren't so bad. They did really good. We got actually tons of compliments of how well our boys did. So, you know, it was good. It was nice to see the homeland and I got to meet an uncle I've never met before, and my mom got to see her brother. My father-in-law got diarrhea. It was great. All of it was nice. Fucking hot as hell. It was just too hot to deal with, and I think 2 weeks for me was good. I wanted 10 days. Dan wanted 3 weeks. We settled on
two.
So he said he could have gone longer, and I punched him really hard in the face in my mind. And yeah. But yeah, it was good. I'm glad to be back home, though.
That's good.
Yeah. Particularly because I really want to talk about this book.
I know.
Because this made all of the layovers that we had so incredibly awesome. They made my layovers hot and charming and squishy. Yes, I had squishies in my layovers. It was beautiful. So we read Blood Laws by Lexi C. Foss, who I actually had the book with me that Lexi signed for us from Shameless Book Con. So it's a little beat up now, but that just means it's got a good read on it. And
I always think it's good beautiful. When books are destroyed.
Oh, yeah. It looks good.
You know, that means that they've been read and loved.
Yep.
No, a pristine book. What's the fucking point?
Yeah, what is it? What? What is it? I'll tear out her signature page and we'll frame it. Whatever.
Whatever.
Or not.
We'll just keep the
book
as
it is. We'll just keep it as it is.
Like, I don't know, but we need to go framing shit, but...
Excuse me. So you want to Clits Notes us?
Sure. Clits Notes.
I didn't ask how you were. I'm a dick.
Well, I am fine.
Oh, good. Clits Notes.
I mean, I didn't go to Cambodia for 2 weeks, so...
Almost did. We got a good deal.
Yeah, I really was tempted, but there were, you know, it's hard to do that so last minute for me.
It was way too late. It was last minute for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no. So. Okay. Anyway. Yes. Clits Notes. So Blood Laws takes place in a world where there are immortals.
Wonderful. Periods.
No, we don't know about that. I don't. there's two flavors of immortals, possibly three. we've got the Ikorians.
So Kalina's calling them Ikorians.
No, I didn't. Ikorians is how I said it the whole time. Call them Ikorians.
I call them Ikorians.
Ikorians.
The Ikorian. So now there's three ways to say
Ikorians. I'm going to say Ikorians.
Okay.
yep. And they are essentially a little bit of a vampire, a little bit of, well... I mean, I say vampire because they require human blood.
Yes.
But they don't have any, like, sun problems, garlic problems, steak problems, you know, stuff like that. They just need to drink human blood, like, every couple of weeks or so to stay alive. And other than that, they each have one power, something that they, you know, can control, whether it be, like, a mind power or... hearing or vision or fire or water or something. Everyone has something.
Mm-hmm.
And then if a male Ikorian mates with a human woman, they can produce an offspring that will become a Hydrian.
Hydrian. It's hard when the narrator doesn't read it for you and you have to make up your own pronunciation.
We had to read this book with our eyeballs.
It was terrible and sad.
Not our earballs.
No, it wasn't terrible. It was awesome. But it was difficult. The names were a little difficult.
Well, so, I mean, it just depends on what you say. But sure. I think it's Hydrian. And so they are, they're the offspring of Ikorians and humans. They are born mortal. They have to die to become their immortal selves. Kind of the same way, I mean...
Yeah, they're fledglings as human spawns.
So they start out as fledglings. They have a power so latently. Then they die and become reborn Hydrians.
Yes.
Which are now immortal, and they have two powers. And the offspring are actually more powerful than the original...
Spring.
The original sire. Anyway, they had a big battle and they don't like each other because the Ikorians, God, we're just going to have to pick one. Ikorians decided they were kind of afraid of their offspring because their blood is toxic to them and they die.
And they're more powerful.
So they had a long feud and like killed a lot of them off, and then they created a treaty that basically said, you stay out of our land, we'll stay out of your land, but we will do everything in our power to not create any more of you because we don't like you. And the Hydrians apparently were just like, peace, stop killing us. They seem to be the more reasonable size. Yes,
they do.
But so we're in New York, which is supposed to be land for the Icarans, and the Hydrans are supposed to stay away from it. And we meet Stas, or Astasia, as her whole name is, but she goes by Stas, and Isaac, who is a billionaire pharmaceutical CEO, playboy,
bachelor,
best, you know, like top, like number two eligible bachelor in New York. And she runs into him at her friend's house. Her friend's been murdered. She knows she's something strange, but she doesn't know what she is. And over time, she discovers she's a fledgling. They start falling in love, or, you know, in relationship. Mm-hmm. He's got this long-term plan to try and take down this company, the CRF, because they killed his sister. And he's trying to use her because she works for them. So he's trying to use her to help him take them down. You know, their feelings get in the way. He introduces her to a bunch of Hydrians, which is what she'll become when she dies. But their love is kind of taboo and forbidden because he is Icaran and she is, fledgling Hydrian. And, you know, then, you know, they have sex.
Ooh, lots of good, deep fucking good sex.
And nothing is resolved. That was probably really horrible to listen to.
It was,
The sound we just made was probably not great.
Oh, yeah, no, that was it. If it doesn't sound good, it's coming out. Or it's staying in. Yeah, because
we both just breathed into the mic.
The, I lost my train of thought. Forget it.
Okay. But, so this is the first in a series, and it doesn't really wrap up a lot. At the end, it just kind of leaves you.
It is a to be continued. Like, it literally just. So, this is a cool dynamic. While we both read this book, I read the actual paper book novel, and Kalina read the ebook. So, she got a glossary. No, an index.
A glossary. Get
a glossary. And I got nothing. And she got the next two chapters of the next book.
Uh-huh,
and
Forbidden I got Bonds.
Nothing. So, Kalina. She knows more than I do anyway because she just remembers it. But now she's like, oh. But I loved just what I read, and she knows the first two chapters of the next book. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, fuck. And I want to read it. So.
Oh, my God. So mad.
This is good. This one was so good.
The whole time I was like, this is my favorite book. It's my new favorite book. Mm-hmm. I love this book. I mean, it's not usually the ones that I tend to say are my favorite are the ones that are really funny. And this one's not super humorous. It has its moments, but it's not really tongue-in-cheek at all.
It wasn't super serial either, though. Like, it was...
No, it wasn't too serious, no. Yeah. But I just, the characters, they're so good in the story, and I just cared the whole time.
Yeah.
She had me on the hook for the whole thing. She throws a curveball at the fucking very end that no one sees fucking coming.
None.
And I see all curveballs coming.
Yeah.
And I didn't see this one. I was like, what the fuck?
I naturally missed every single one.
So this was great. And it just, like, it holds you. It holds you from page one to the end.
Oh, Kalina finished this book in 4 hours.
Yeah.
She was done.
One night, I was just like, oh, this is all I'm going to do
now.
She was
done. I had to keep putting mine away and getting on an airplane. But, like, it was a...
That would have frustrated me if I couldn't keep reading this book.
Oh, and there was one point where Cass was like, Mom, what's this? And pulled my bookmark out.
And then you only have one child. Sorry. You are now an only child, Atlas.
It was like...
No longer is there a brother.
I said, that's a bookmark for which its purpose you just killed at that very moment. And he's like, what? Because he's five. He didn't get it. But yeah, so that took a while for me to figure out where I was. But I'm all good now.
It's another prop to the ebook is you don't lose your voice.
That you can highlight. There were a lot of words that I had to look up.
Oh, but in the ebooks, they look up for you.
All you have to do is press it.
And it'll tell you the book or what the word is.
But I do love the smell of books.
Oh, I know.
And I love holding them and flipping pages and hitting people with them. It's great. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, there's something about it.
Yeah.
But anyway, so there was a little bit, our points of view are never the same, but while we both read the books, they did come from different sources, so that was interesting. So you got a lot of the details before, so you read the glossary before you read the book, so you got a better understanding of it, or a different understanding of it, because you'd already had like a visual of what the different groups or whatever.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, I don't know that going back I would read it before the book again, because a lot of the words you don't come across till like later in the book, and so you don't remember anyway.
Yeah.
And I obviously interpreted a couple of them a certain way that then really colored the way I understood the book. I was very confused about the
CRF and the
CRF
conclave.
Well, not the conclave. I wasn't confused about that. But just Jonathan Fitzgerald.
Oh, yeah.
And the Watkins, too. And then
other family. Lizzie's family.
Lizzie's family. And then I assumed a thing that turns out to be true. Mm-hmm. But I assumed it the whole book and then was like, yeah, duh. And then I was like, oh, wait, no one ever said that.
No one ever said it.
So then I was like, I don't understand what's going on now. I have questions, but I assume they come up in the next couple of books.
Oh, yeah. No, this whole book, you get to the end. I got to the last two chapters and I had like 6 pages left. And I was like, this can't be right. We are in the middle of a battle here. The climax is happening at the end of this book. So your balls are blue. And I mean,
your
just
action
for
balls are
your
blue.
Action balls are blue.
Not your sex balls.
Oh, no. Those get satisfaction throughout this book. It's good. It's good shit. But no, as far as like the plot and the story, but it's brilliant. It's so good because now you're just like, I am going to go in and read the next
one.
Oh,
that's all I want to do.
Because
read the next one immediately.
We're not tempted to because we have this thing that we need to do and move on to other books, but we want to get into this next book and read it and talk about it. But then we're just going to get stuck on it, and we can't do that.
No. I mean, we could because we do whatever we want.
I mean, it's true.
It's our
podcast.
What are you guys going to do? Stop listening.
You're not my mom.
But yeah, so I think we should just kind of talk about some of the themes of the book.
Yeah.
What do we like? Why is this book so good for us?
I think one of the first things that I want to talk about is, and you sort of brought this up already, is that Isaac and Stas, they're not fated mates.
Nope.
They are not. They're like, at the end of the book, they are declared boyfriend and girlfriend, which is adorable.
Not only are they not fated, they really can't be together by the laws of the blood laws
won't allow it.
Their groups.
Well, and their
especially
chemistry.
Icarians.
Her blood is toxic to
Once she becomes
Hydrian. Blood to Icarians.
Yeah.
So it's just like,
but he just could just like stay away from her blood. I think that's fine. I have a solution to it. Just don't get blood on him.
Yeah. Go away. Choose to be the mortal that doesn't have their periods. Which is something I created and it's not real.
None of them do. Like, that was not part of this book.
Oh, no, that was something Saylet made up because she's crazy. But yeah, I mean, yeah, there are solutions to it, but they'd have to be really careful, I think, obviously.
Well, I mean, he does like to bite things.
He does. He bites. He bites her.
He'd have to stop doing that.
Stop biting.
But
yeah, and she'd have to accept that he has to get it on and get blood from somebody unless he's going
to. Well, he just has to get blood. He doesn't have to have sex.
Oh, but I want to have sex with Isaac. He's hot.
Oh, I want to have sex with him too, but I don't. Also, don't really want him to bite me and drink my blood. But he could just, like, I don't know, blood bank or something. We'd figure it out. It's fine. No, you're right. That's one of the best things is that.
Yeah.
Unlike so many of our books where it is destiny and mm-hmm. this is the only person in the world for them.
Yeah.
And all of the universe they were fated to be, there's none of that pressure of, you know, existential fate.
I can't wait till we come across that book. And we sort of already did with the Anita Blake Vampire Hunters, but come across that book where there is a couple who are in love, but they're not fated. And then another guy comes in and they are just as into each other and she can't help but to fall in love with him too. And now she's in this like between thing with these two guys and it's just going to be like this big old mess of emotions.
Kind of in Georgina kind of does that.
Georgina Kincaid with the author and Roman.
Mm-hmm. And then in the future books.
Oh, they do. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, cool. I guess we got to continue with that, too.
Especially, I think, a lot of the series where they're woman-focused, where the main characters is the woman, and she continues through the series as opposed to
each
our series where
couple.
They're like, here's 7 guys, and they're all going to mate.
Yes.
Like, meet their mate over the course of these 7 books.
And another thing that's really great about this book is that Isaac and Stas' story doesn't end here. There's a lot more that they have to go through.
We have no clear ending to anything.
Yeah.
Nothing has had been resolved. In fact, it's all just been started.
No, it's all
this
just...
This book is just a bunch of stirring of the fucking pot to get the shit started.
It's so good. It's so good. I normally hate that kind of shit. I don't like it. But she...
We ripped fucking...
Feral...
No. Fever.
Dark fever.
We ripped it to shreds for that kind of shit.
We did.
But that's because they didn't tell us what was fucking happening. We know what the deal is.
That was just a vacation.
There's some rogue Icarans trying to start... shit.
Yes.
They have this treaty where they're not supposed to kill each other unless the Hydrians go into their territory.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just, you know, kind of leaving each other alone. And there's some rogue Icarans who are like, I think it's time to start shit again. Let's have a war. And so they're out there killing Hydrians and fledglings and making it look like the Conclave has done it.
Yeah.
And trying to incite violence between the two parties. And they want it to spill over into the human population. And they just want a world war.
It's just a mass craziness.
And we know, there's a lot of steps to how we're going to stop it or prevent it or take it down, you know, whatever. But we at least understand the overarching plot.
There's a plot.
Whereas Dark Fever
There was nothing.
We don't even know what the characters are.
I can't even talk about it anymore.
Why
because
do we
I
keep
literally
bringing
don't
it
remember.
Up? I hate bringing that book back up. I feel bad. A different book that I do want to compare this with, though, more current to the podcast and one that I think is very relevant, is Shadow Rider. So we hated that. Yes, we know. Everyone knows that. We did not like that book very well, and we were very mean to it. But very similar characters in Stefano and Isaac in terms of high-profile, super wealthy, billionaire playboys on the cover of all the magazines, flitting around the country with a different girl every day. Same type of guy, technically, or at least descriptively.
Yep.
Completely different characters.
So different.
In the way that they treat their women. Significant others, their women, and the people in their lives. Stefano's just a fucking asshole to everyone around him.
Mm-hmm.
Isaac is not, like, friendly. You know, he treats...
He has to keep his guard up.
He's very stern. But he is trusting. Like, even from the kind of early on, he trusts Stas to take care of herself. He does not... Like, he buys her clothes, but he doesn't pick them out and make her wear them.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, hey, go on a shopping spree because I'm taking you to a fancy dinner tonight and you need to be dressed. She gets to go and pick the dress herself. He didn't do it for her because he's not a control freak. He likes what she picked. Like, you know, shit like that. Just little tiny things where you're like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, to the point where he even has his hand on her neck the same way Stefano did with...
They could have been written from the same fucking
Francesca.
Mold and
oh,
then
yeah.
just went in two opposite directions.
They went way opposite. It was 180.
Because
he would grab her by the neck, but it wasn't aggressive and it was sensual and it was... I mean, like, there were some parts where when they were getting it on, he would grab her, but it wasn't out of... It was almost kind of like Stefano was grabbing the scruff of Francesca's neck.
And it was like grab.
It was grab.
The wording was different for Isaac. Like he would like raise his arm up to her neck and tussle her and like he played with her hair. And his hand was on her neck a lot, but it was never except for that one part where he freaked out. But like it wasn't aggressive.
Was yeah,
that was upsetting, and he apologized numerous times for it. So it's okay. Like even in the very first sex scene, they in both books. The man starts to tie up the woman, right? But in fucking Shadow Rider, the whole time I was like in tears upset because I was like, this is horrible. He hasn't told her anything. He didn't give her any warning. She doesn't know what's happening. He's just tying her hands up with this tie and he doesn't.
Yep.
And then in the other book, he's like walking her through it and telling her what he's doing and why he's doing it and this and that. And it's like, this is how you write these scenes. They are the same. They are like mirror image scenes. And one of them makes me fucking hot as hell and like super horny all night
long.
Tie
me up.
And the other one makes me feel like I've been violated. And it's like upsetting.
Mm-hmm. It is insane.
But they're so perfect to have read this so close to that other book that we can compare them because I was so upset for the other one. And this one, at first I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Some rich asshole. I'm not going to like this. And he is so fucking perfect. I love him. I love him.
And he's got so many, like his ranges of different emotions are all present. He goes through everything from playful to stern to professional and playboy and even angry towards the end of the book. That part scared me. I wasn't scared for Stas because I didn't think he was really going to hurt her. Mm-hmm. But it was like that unpredictability. Even she was startled by it, obviously. Mm-hmm. She's being pinned against the wall from him. But it's like, you know, and you're right. He did apologize for it. And I know he truly, truly didn't mean it like that. But I love the range of emotion that
he went through numerous apologies.
Everything. Yes.
Like at first, she saw it in his face.
Yeah.
Because as soon as he realized what he'd done, his face was like remorseful and like shocked. And then he verbally said, "I am sorry, that was wrong." And then he acknowledged that she had been right and said, "Yes, I trust you. What you told me, even though it made me fucking furious, is true. I believe you."
Yes.
And like those are three levels of apology. And then, of course, he said it again like later two or three times. But, you know, so that just models exactly how you can do that. You can make a mistake and fix it. And it's just it's so good.
I mean, I know he's an Aquarian, but
he's only human.
He's only human.
Sans, also not human.
Aquarian. But yeah, no, it was just, I love when characters are built like that. These are the type of, this is why we read these kind of books.
Oh, 100%.
It's to fall into these type of fantasies, to be with those type of men, and to fall into the steps or the chairs of the seats. I don't know what the fuck I'm trying to say. Fall into the position of the women. Because I liked Stas as a female character also. There are some times where I'm like, I don't really like this character. Mm-hmm. But Astasia, who's got the most perfect, beautiful name. I fucking love that name, Astasia.
Astasia is great.
She's got three names in this book. Astasia, Stas, and Aya.
Would not ever. If that was my name, if my name was Astasia, no one would ever fucking call me Stas.
It would not be Stas.
Go fuck yourself. You're not giving me a name.
No.
A nickname. Taking my beautiful, gorgeous name and turning it into like something that sounds like.
Well, it can't be S.
No. Astasia. It shouldn't be anything. It's Stasia.
It could be Sia.
It should be Astasia.
It'd be Astasia.
That's why no one gives me a nickname. I won't allow it. No. My name is my name. It's Kalina. Don't you dare shorten it in any way, shape, or form.
No, I saw somebody call you Callie once, and I swear World War IV was going to start.
I just don't know why you would even think you can do that.
I don't know. I've got every nickname under the sun because I have an impossible name.
But I try to always use your whole name, except with Emily.
I think it's weird, though. I do think it's weird. When you say my name, I think it's weird. You call it. I mean, it's my name. Fucking use it. Yeah, but
I try.
But if it's like coming from you or Emily, I just expect to hear cells. It's just what I, you know, but whatever. Mm. It's all good. Say that it's the name you should use because that's my name. Oh, but anyway, I don't know what I was saying. Good book. I highly recommend this book. This was so great.
Mm-hmm.
This was so good. Let's see. I have my notes far, far away from me and a pencil covering my handwriting. There we go. Kalina bought a brand new notebook to start the new year of recordings, and she does not. She writes the title, the author, the names of the characters, and that.
I don't have anything written.
No other notes.
This is all by the seat of my pants, guys.
And I'm like, I'm phonetically putting words down in my notes because I don't know how to say lots of words. Anyway.
Well, and in ebooks too, I like highlight all kinds of things. So it's not that I'm not, I like, they just don't, then I highlight it and then I move on and I translate.
Yeah.
I just like don't do anything with that highlight. I just, I'm like, well, it's in there.
But also, I think that's the reason why you're able to get through these books so quickly is you don't indulge on like the little stuff. I literally, every time I got to Hydrian, I stayed on that word for 15 seconds trying to figure out how to say it in my head. I'm not even saying it out loud.
Yeah. No, you gotta get over that.
Yeah, I do.
That's how you can learn to read faster.
Yeah, it's true.
If you care. I mean, you don't have to care.
Another cool thing about this book is how many different little surprises she put in this book. Like, you just didn't see these little Easter eggs that were there. Or at least I didn't. Kalina saw a lot of them. I did not see some of them. But those were really cool. And I think, like, my biggest problem with this book, and it's not even a problem. It was just a thing of, like, at some point, everybody was lying about something. So everybody was a fucking liar in this book. But they had to do it for this reason or that reason. There are double agents and triple agents. So it's just, like, who do we trust? Who's the bad guy? And particularly from the CRF, I think. Obviously, you know, Stas and Isaac are good.
What did Isaac lie about?
Isaac lied to, well, I guess he didn't really lie. He was just keeping secrets from her. Like, he wouldn't explain certain things to her.
Yeah, no, he was very like, I'm going to tell you, I just can't tell you all right away because it's too much.
Yeah, but it was also like, he had to lie to the conclave.
Well, yeah, yeah. And I mean, they're all, I feel like,
Osiris and all of those. But at that point in the beginning of the book,
evil.
Yeah, they're bad people.
The but, conclave sucks.
But you're also still, like, we're still getting introduced to Isaac as a character, so we don't really know what his person is and if he's a true, honest. So at that point, I wrote that early on when I was just like, everybody's lying. I just don't know who's telling the truth. Mm-hmm. I couldn't trust Tom because I felt like,
well, no.
At first, I was like, no way. This guy's an asshole. But then at the end of the book, it flips. And then the doctor, Jonathan Fitzgerald, that one's hard to tell, you know. But then you find out later he's a douche and he's a bad guy. Agent Stark, I thought he was behind the poisoning. Seems like he may not be. I don't know. It's just such a weird thing. And I liked it. I wasn't upset by it.
Well, I think it's exactly like when we read Deadly Alchemy and there was the potential for her to... She didn't know who to trust because at first she trusted the vampire. Mm-hmm. I don't remember any of their names, but at first she trusted the vampire and he told her all these things and she thought she was helping him. And then she got kidnapped by the werewolves and they said, no, he's bad. And they told her, you know, this. And she immediately started trusting them. And it was like, that was the moment that you could have really made it like you don't know who to trust. Yeah. That was done in this book.
Yeah.
Because she has a 6-year long relationship with the CRF. And with these families.
Yeah.
She met Lexi early on in her in college and started working, like got an internship at the CRF and was doing Sunday dinners, or they call them brunch a lot, but then at one point it was dinner and I did
the last
not.
One was a dinner. Yeah.
But the one she went to with her family was a dinner, but even then the next one was a dinner.
But they were calling him brunch?
They called him brunch the whole time. So I was very confused. Maybe it's, New York does a really late brunch on Sundays, like dinner time brunch.
Maybe they're all hobbits. They have 7 meals a day.
But so she was doing dinner, you know, Sunday dinner with the Fitzgeralds and the Watkins and, you know, these people from the CRF for years. She's been doing this for, so she said they are her New York family. They have treated her as family for years. And she's not going to just accept this idea that they could be the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to convince her of that. And it seems like there's something obviously off about Isaac for a while. Like, he's hiding crap from her. And, you know, she finds him in this terrible BDSM vampire bar or club. And, you know, stuff like that. So it's done really well. This is exactly what I wanted out of Deadly Alchemy, where she is trying to trust her gut, but it's telling her different things. She's going back and forth, and she has to get confirmation. She doesn't just, I mean, she wants to trust him and believe him, and she does, but even at the very end when Jonathan tells her, you know, he paid for you to get the poison, she knows that's not true. Like, the video doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right. Something's wrong. But she still asks Isaac directly anyway, did you pay to poison me? No. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's fine. I just had to say it because you can't accept things when you're in this kind of world where every time you turn around, somebody's been lying to you about something.
Yeah. And you're also one of the ones that are doing the lying, too. I mean, like, at some point, lights get caught up in its own tangles, you know,
because
she's like at this point a triple agent, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just a lot. Yeah, because she gets accepted into the CRF, which is where she got poisoned. But now she's going to be trained to be a sentinel. There's a lot of details in the plot that's happening, and it's really good. It's well written. And if you pay attention, you won't get confused. If you don't have a mind like me, you won't get confused. So it's so good. Can we talk about just the sex? Let's just talk about sex.
Yeah, that's all I want to talk about.
So, of course, there is the sexual teasing and all of that that happens between them when they first meet. She's beautiful. He's hot. And did she get hurt the first time when he put her to bed? And he stayed with her at the apartment and gave her first orgasm with him. What happened to her?
Because she was at the conclave and witnessed a horrible, terrible murder.
That's what it was. Oh,
and a bunch of people drinking blood and auctioning off humans.
That was a gruesome scene of the skin being peeled and the beheading.
Yep.
Wow.
It was pretty bad. Being burned. Body being burned.
That was insane. And then, a human being auctioned, which you find out later is...
It's fine.
It's all good.
It's totally
like,
cool.
It's on purpose.
I found out during the thing. I was like, obviously, this is cool. Obviously. Isaac was fine with it. It was fine.
It was totally fine. Isaac's cool. Yeah, so she just, I mean, she's just really drained from having witnessed all of this. And
it all, like, she's had no sleep. Like, she doesn't sleep well. She has bad nightmares since Owen. I mean, well, she had bad nightmares because her parents were murdered in front of her at the age of, like, 9 or something. So she's had a problem sleeping since then because she has these dreams, these nightmares of drowning, even though they were burned to death. We're going to get to that. I mean, we aren't going to get to that because it's not in this book, but the book eventually is going to explain that because that is definitely prophecy, and we'll figure it out later. but anyway, so she sees Owen, her friend. She sees his murdered, disembodied, burned, tortured corpse in his apartment at the very beginning of the book, and it's very reminiscent of what happened to her parents. So that starts to bring the nightmares back. She starts having nightmares again. She's not sleeping very well. And then she starts, you know, going down this rabbit hole with Isaac, and she finds out she's immortal and all this stuff. Then she ends up accidentally at the conclave and witnesses this horrible act, and she has to the whole time be
straight-faced,
stoic, and pretend like nothing bothers her, because he says if you react, they're gonna kill you. Like, you have to not react. And she didn't go there knowing this. None of this was, like, it was all accidental that she was even there. So she's sitting there watching it and being like, oh, this is cool, whatever, I'm not reacting to this. So she's shut everything down. So they go back to her apartment. She finally, like, actually, she doesn't break down. She's just really drained. She goes to sleep and has a nightmare, and he stays with her, and he can't wake her up from her nightmare, and she's crying, and that's when she breaks down, because she's like, this is horrible.
She cries into his terrible. Chest.
So yeah, he holds her, and she bawls for a while, and then he's like, look, I can fix this.
Orgasms solve all things.
As we have learned, orgasms solve all things. So he gets her off real fast.
This was the bump and grind, like, high school.
I don't know why. I just want to blow into the mic all the time.
That's all right. When it's sexy and we're blowing in the mic, that means they, and it's like that groggy in the middle of the night thing where it's just so sensual because you don't really know what's happening, but you know something's going to happen. And he sticks his leg between hers and, like, jacks her off and gives her an orgasm with his knee or with his thigh or something.
With his giant, muscly muscular thigh rubbing just, against her clit.
Oh, my God. I was like, I think I was on the plane when I read that, and I was like, oh, I remember telling Kalina not to read squishies on the plane. And now I'm doing it, and it's bad. But, oh, so good. I think that was my favorite. Like, they were all good. All this, like, the actual intercourse and stuff.
That one almost made me orgasm.
Oh, it was.
I was like so close. I was like, holy shit! No,
that's when you're like, we talk about squishies. We say that all the time. This one was literal.
Yeah.
Like, and there were other ones that were too, but, like, it was throbbing, so pulsing. Like, it was just like, holy shit! It was. Oh my God, it was so good. You guys got to read it.
And then she's all like, oh, wait, you know, because he's hard.
Your turn.
And he's like, nope.
Not about me,
we're
darling.
Going to sleep now. Mm-hmm. And she falls into a dreamless sleep for the rest of the night. Yep. And I was like, yes, oh my God.
Yeah, because she tries to grab him, and he's like, oh, not yet. This is not. He's pretty much like, this is not about me, and this is not how I want to take you.
It was so good. And I know we've had other books where that's happened, where it's been, but it's because it's so unusual.
It is. It's not. We haven't had a bump and grind scene like that.
Well, it's just not only like, that, the non-reciprocity, like the no, this is your orgasm time not my orgasm time. This is not about me. This is about you. And that's so atypical for standard relationship.
Right.
And, like, just the understanding, like, socially how we understand heterosexual sex, where it's like, did he get off? Okay, that's all that matters. You know, like, that's frustrating. And so to have a scene where it's just very so specifically, this is not about male sex. This is about making a woman feel better and, like, go to sleep. I mean, I wish orgasms made me sleep, but they don't. But that would be nice.
Well, nothing except for maybe a bullet to the head would make you sleep. You're just not a good sleeper.
No.
After orgasms make me sleep.
Yeah.
And I do have to say that while I agree, because I've been in past relationships, Dan has and hasn't been my only relationship, I do have to say that Dan is one of those anomalies where he does want to make sure I get off first, or that it's just about me. It's not all the time, and it doesn't work all the time. There are times where it's just like, I just can't do it. Mm-hmm. And I am perfectly fine that it's happened to you. I don't have to have one all the time. I'm going to share my story with you of our last throw.
Okay.
Because it's funny.
Okay.
And I feel it's funny in a sense, because the last couple of times it just hasn't been that great for me, and he has been getting off and it's been good, and so he's been feeling really bad about it. I'm like, dude, it's not you. I can control that for myself. I really can. And it's not that I'm blocking myself from it. I just can't. I'm just not doing it right now. So this last time we were getting intimate, he gets a little ticklish after he has one, so he holds me still so that I can't move, because if I do, it just drives him crazy in a sense where he can't. It's just too ticklish for some reason or something. And I kept trying to move. I was like, I know I only got a few minutes left, so let me move. And he was just like, go get your toy. And I said, no, I don't want my toy. I don't want my toy. And I was like yelling, and I was like, no, I don't want my toy. And I made him. I held that fucker down. And I ignored his no. He didn't say no. I just ignored. Oops, sorry. I just ignored his request to please me in a different way, and I was just like, no, this is what's happening, and I can do this. And I mean, I did. It was great. It was wonderful. And I was like, that's so much better than a toy. I said, I fucking love my toys. My toys are great, but it's different when it's with someone, with someone you love, someone that you care about, and whatever. But he's like one of those guys. It's like, I want to make sure you're good too, you know.
And
or
that
sometimes
is great.
Just you, yeah.
Because that is not typical. We have a stat: 72% of women have experienced a time when their partner orgasmed but made no attempt to help them.
Oh, so sad.
72% is a large percentage.
That's a lot.
Of women who have had experiences where it's just been like, well, thanks, bye. And you're like,
Where'd you get that from?
Bustle.
That's good.
That's
an
article.
Good,
it's 11 charts and graphs that show the female orgasm by numbers. Wow. It's on Bustle. It's from July of 2016. And it has a lot of really good stats and stuff about female orgasms and how most of them work and like when they happen and stuff like that. But I just like this, you know, the number of how many women have had experiences where the men are just like,
I wonder,
it's called
how
the
many,
orgasm gap.
Yeah, I wonder how many, because I think I've only been with one person where I've only slept with them once, only one time. Anybody else that I've ever been with, it was, you know, an ongoing thing, whether or not we were a couple. We saw each other multiple times, but I can't think of any specific times where I was purposely left high on dry. But I know that I was on
occasions. I don't know that I'd say purposefully, but the vast majority of my experiences do not involve me also orgasming.
Really?
No, with all of them.
Well, and that's that's
with all the various partners.
And you're part of that 72%.
Oh, I'm like all the part.
You're like, I am the whole 72.
Like, it's not, and I don't ever feel like they have been like
hit it and quit it.
Yeah, it's never been like, well, that was their goal.
Right.
I just think they've never known how, and I don't vocalize it very well.
Yeah.
And so we go for what we do, and eventually I'm like, that's fine. We're just done. It's fine.
Yeah, so I guess I maybe shouldn't have said purposely, but.
Yeah. Because it's just not worth sometimes fighting about.
Well, no.
I can do it myself later.
No. And it depends on the person you're with and whether or not you really do want to. Because I could think of two that I don't think I could ever tell them that. You know?
No, we'll hope none of them are listening.
I doubt it. If you are.
Well, now you know.
Now you know.
or you don't.
Or you know. Anyway, so the rest of the sex is really good. There are kinky scenes. There are really good, not too kinky. There's the tying up scene.
Yeah, but it's light and playful. And
there's a teasing scene where she doesn't even explain it, but he gets a blowjob from her, and it's like, it's just like a one sentence. He said something about fucking her mouth.
I do have to just say,
I know you weren't gonna like that.
I hate that word.
When it's said like that,
I hate the word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that blowjobs are an active act. That's like, that's not the word I want. But they're an action performed by women. So to take that, which is our agency to do, like, yeah. I mean, it is.
I get what you're saying.
And to turn it into the phrase, I'm going to fuck your mouth, devalues women into now just being another orifice.
Just another
for
hole.
The dick to go in.
Yep.
And it's like, no. And also, because there have been books where they write the scenes, they write blowjob scenes where they're like pumping into the mouth, like where the man is all the movements. And to me, that instantly makes me have horrible ideas of being choked. Like,
sure.
Like, yes. Like not being able to breathe because there's a penis thrust into your face. And like, there's only so much throat, you know? So
it's true. No,
like,
I.
And then gay. Yeah. And then, so I'd like, I think it's, I like blowjobs. And I think they're fun. And I don't, they shouldn't be, that's the one thing where I'm just like, stop fucking taking that and turning it into this masculine, like attack. Mm-hmm. And like, give it back to the women. Like, what book was it where she woke him up with a blowjob? And it was so tender and beautiful. And he was so surprised by it. And I loved it. Whatever. We cannot possibly remember all the sex scenes.
It was me 2 months ago.
Well, that was you 2 months ago. There you go. But it's not, you know, so I just, like, I did, I actually, it's one of the highlights I have of this book, because I highlighted that exact sentence. And
I
was
thought
like,
of you when I read, like, that sentence.
No.
I liked it in a sense of just it being a blip, but I didn't like how it was written, like, that he fucked her mouth.
Well, because, well, he said it, like, he had it, it was an internal thought for him. He's like, well, I'm going to fuck your mouth.
No, he did say it, I think. Or he
and
said
then,
something about I'm.
No, here, because I have it right here.
Something.
Oh, no, he did say it. That's the goal. His lips went to her ear. I'm going to start by fucking that delicious mouth of yours.
That's,
then
yeah,
we'll make it
did,
more interesting.
He did say that, yeah.
And I just heard that.
Yeah. And then it was like the last sentence of that.
last sentence of a chapter.
Yeah.
So, yes, we don't get the scene, but we get him using that language. Mm-hmm. And it's not, no, you can fuck my other things. Mm-hmm. We can use the word for that, but not my mouth. Because I have to breathe out of that. And so that needs to be within my control. And when I control it,
absolutely,
it's fine. But if you start trying to control it, I feel like I might die. And sure. I don't want to feel like I'm dying. That's not fun.
And I don't want you to have sex with the corpse.
No, I really don't want that.
It's like a bad idea. Yeah, no, I read that sentence like, ooh, Kalina's going to hate that. She's going to hate it. I don't like it much either, but I was more into how it was written in a sense of, like, that was a quickie, mm-hmm, one that we could use our own imaginations for, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and the other scenes were good, too.
Well, I mean, and all of the men in all of these books are so fucking well endowed that people can't even wrap hands around their penises. And I'm just like, you don't get to fuck my mouth because that will kill somebody.
Fuck yeah.
Nobody can take that.
My hand is bigger than my mouth. Yeah.
If I can't wrap my hand around your dick, that shit can't go in my mouth.
I like it like a lollipop.
Also, I have teeth. I will bite you.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You're going to regret this decision.
Just try it.
Watch it, buddy. So, no, I do. I like it.
Yeah.
Again, really like this book.
I hear you.
One sentence that really stuck out and made me go, mm-hmm, nah, mm-hmm, the way I do when, mm-hmm, I don't like things. So.
Sure. Do we want to do our kiss and tell?
Yeah, I think it is time for that.
So, in this book, Isaac talks a lot about how he pretty much is a hit it and quit it type of guy. He doesn't bed women more than once.
I don't date women. I fuck them.
Ooh, did that get Stas pissed? That's when she's like, don't you fucking touch me.
She used her powers
Do
on
not
him.
Touch me. Yeah, she did. She used her power. Which is, did we ever explain that?
No, we didn't, but that's fine. It's
Stas' power is power of
persuasion.
She can control,
tell you what to do, and you
do
it,
which is fucking,
it's awesome, and I want it.
Yeah, that's,
oh my god, I want it so bad.
Big power to have.
My brother would hate it.
But anyway, so he says that, and all of his friends know it, all of his close people, the group of this rogue group of warriors, we'll call them, know that about Isaac. So to see him with Stas in a sense of holding her hand or holding her at the hip, having her on his lap and certain things like that, it's not usual for him.
Mm-hmm. He even goes so far as to play it up for the paparazzi at the gala. Yeah. Like all the photos of him in the past mm-hmm. with other women, he's just...
They're just
standing.
Out of his arm.
He never smiles. He's yeah. just getting his photo taken, but mm-hmm. he takes Stas out and he's flirting with her and he's groping her and he's smiling and he's kissing her and he dips her down into yep. a big kiss in front of the paparazzi and yeah. they get photos of it.
Yeah, he puts a big display of it. So our kiss and tell for the episode is PDAs, public display of public display of affection. and I guess. Actually, I don't even really know what the discussion is going to be around it.
Did not flesh this out.
Nope. We didn't. All we said was what PDA, it was going to be. Bleh. That was it. And we're like, good. That's all we had.
Done.
Because we're going to tell a story about me holding hands. It's just, do you like it or do you don't like it? It's just, well, I think you and I may have different views on this. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Uh-oh. Here's Johnny's here.
Oh. You guys. Our hot Johnny. Officer, Hot Johnny, is here. He's the one who does our library recording for us.
He's telling us to wrap it up.
What? No, it's not. Is
he's
he?
Fine. No, he's fine.
Oh, I'm like, we have till 7 o'clock.
It's fine. he just was making sure we weren't. Sorry, sidetracked by Hot Johnny.
Officer Hottie.
Officer Hottie.
Officer Hottie. So here's what we're going to do.
All right.
For our kiss and tell. You're going to tell me what you think about. No, I'm going to tell you what you think about PDAs, and you're going to tell me what I think about PDAs.
Oh, okay.
This is going to be a disaster.
I think this is easy.
Totally. So I don't think that you're really much for it.
Joking.
What?
What?
I, in the 20 years that I've known you, have only seen you ever kiss somebody twice, and that was a month ago. Ever.
Yeah.
I've never seen you hold anyone's hand. You barely like to give hugs.
That's very true.
But I've seen you, I saw you kiss your guy twice. Maybe more than twice. But within the last month or two, it was twice. But maybe more than that, the last. But yeah. And it was only with your current guy. And it's like, you know, it's, I love it. I think it's very endearing.
Yeah, of course you love it.
But
you and Dan aren't overly PDA-y.
That's good. I don't want to be.
No. But yeah, I can tell you don't mind it, but it's not. Like, there's some couples where they are, like, one person.
Oh, for sure.
In public. It's and you're like.
I have been told, and I get it a lot from my sisters, and I don't know if they're trying to be funny or they think I'm being flaunty, but if Dan and I are, like, we're playing a game and he and I are on a team and we win or something, we'll give each other a kiss. We'll be, like, a long 4-second kiss, and they're like, ew, don't do that out here, go get a room. And I can tell that, well, at least one of them is like partly very serious about that. And it's like, I just shared a kiss with my husband, I didn't stick my tongue down his throat, and his cock's not going in my mouth right now. Ooh, I hope it doesn't go in his own mouth.
Should we videotape that? I'm sure we can make money.
Oh my god. I know we can make with Dan, new project. Oh my god. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just,
no.
I think there's definitely a limit. I'm not going to stand there and make out with him. No. But I'm going to kiss him. And if it's going to be 10 seconds long, it's going to be 10 seconds long.
Yeah. And that's all fine.
Yeah.
I think it's fine to a point. I was uncomfortable by the paparazzi scene in the book because Stas seemed like, I mean, at that point, she thought this was a business deal, that he was just dating her because he promised he would tell her what she was and like all the information she wanted to know if she would go on dates with him. And so she thought it was, she didn't take anything seriously, and so she didn't understand why he was making out with her.
Yeah,
So she was really confused, and also she's not a socialite.
Right.
She isn't used to the gala world and mm-hmm. the going out and the fancy limos and walking the red carpets and being in the limelight. And so I think that is an uncomfortable situation. Anyway, I was having a heart attack about it. I would die if someone was like, we're going to a gala. I'd be like, no, we're fucking not. Who the fuck do you think I am? Are you joking? like, seriously. We barely made it to the fancy dress ball at Shameless.
At the book con, yeah.
At the book convention. Mm-hmm. And that was our element in our hotel and just downstairs. Like, and it was still really hard to get us to go me to go to that.
It really
so it's
was.
Not a thing I do. But anyway, so I was a little bit uncomfortable because he seemed to be making such an overt, like, I don't think you need to stick your tongue down her throat and grope her on the red carpet.
No, probably
that's
not.
That's too, and like her dress gets disarranged and I'm like, she's not wearing a bra and there's cameras. I feel like this isn't appropriate. That's one of those things where I'd be like, inappropriate time.
How did you feel about all of the, because there was a lot of people sitting on laps in this book.
I hate people sitting on laps.
God, I could read you like a book. I should just read Kalina and talk about Kalina. It's so funny when I'm reading these books, because I know, obviously, we're doing this for our podcast. I have to have, I'm having this discussion with you. I'm constantly thinking about how you would feel about certain scenes. Just like the fucking of the mouth scene. I knew Kalina was going to hate that one, and I knew you were going to hate the sitting on the lap scene. And I'm
it's so many. So many.
I do agree with that one, though. I mean, the other one, too.
I mean, in the conclave, I felt okay with her on his lap because she had to put on such a weird act. I wouldn't have been able to pull that off sitting in a chair by myself.
No.
Like, it took physical contact with him and his cues to what was about to happen,
which
whether she
great.
Needed to worry or be like, you know.
Yep.
And I think that was important, so I wasn't as weirded out by that. I felt the necessity of that scene. Then, like, 100 other times people were sitting on each other's laps, I was like, what the
Every
fuck is
time.
Happening?
Well, they would have, it was like they were having a little meeting at his house, or at Amelia's house, his sister's. And then he would pull her on her lap there while they were having this discussion. And I'm like, just let her sit. She didn't even.
Oh, I was very concerned also with the waterfall scene that they were all still there having dinner. And they just went and had sex in the pool. I was like,
in
wait.
The waterfall.
I thought everyone was eating by the pool.
They were. And I was like, wait, is this waterfall? Are they in a cave?
What is happening?
And then it does explain it at the end of the scene that the water only came up to their knees or their ankles.
Oh, yeah.
But
that was information I needed for the whole scene.
I needed that in the beginning.
Because I was visualizing full-blown pool sex.
Me too.
And I was like, this sounds hard.
No, chlorine what is bad happening? For your cooch. Don't let chlorine in your cooch. But
it doesn't want it. It does not want it.
No.
But then, at the very end, we finally get through the sex scene, and she's like, well, luckily the water was only up to mid-thigh. And
you're
I was
like, oh.
Why didn't you tell me that first?
Said that first. Because that was the scene I didn't enjoy as much, because it was in the water.
Her hair was wet. I was bothered by that. I mean, I have a lot of issues with water
How
sex.
Brazen is it to be able to, I mean, okay, in a situation like that, would you do it?
With you and Dan and Ryan and Emily sitting eating dinner at the fucking table next to the pool? No, I'm not having fucking sex under the fucking waterfall. Fucking kidding me? Because that's literally, it's his best friends.
I know.
Have shown up for a dinner. They have a big fight.
Okay, what if we were all in shape and hot?
No.
You're right, I'd still do it.
No. At most, I can manage having sex in another room. That's, like, really as far as I could go with my friends being around.
Oh, for sure. But a not-so-hidden waterfall cave in a swimming pool?
They had just witnessed.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
And then, this didn't get discussed, but then they're naked behind the waterfall, and he, like, broke all her clothing.
He did.
And so now I'm like, now what? Now what, bitch? How are you going to get her out from behind the waterfall without everyone seeing her naked? Because you seem to be kind of possessive about people seeing her naked.
Yeah, he was a little bit possessed about that.
So, as much we can always find something for me to complain about in these books.
I know.
Even books where I'm like, I love the book so much.
Oh, there's always some little bits. Like, for instance, why is Tristan such an asshole?
Why is Tristan
such an
asshole?
I need to know why he is so bitter about everything.
I really wanted to like Tristan.
I did too. I heard Progeny and thought, hey, this is just going to be some kid that needs some guidance. And
I also like the name Tristan. And he was Irish? Come on.
He's got the sexiest accent ever.
And he does the weird silence thing.
And then he's like such
asshole.
A D D-bag. I'm sad about that. I think there's a story. There's a reason to it. But still, I was like, God damn it, Tristan.
There's something there with Clara, too.
Clara is the one that was meant for, or made, quote unquote, for Isaac.
Yeah. But I think, I mean, they were very, she said that they were very platonic, Tristan and Clara, but that Clara was an empath, so she constantly wanted physical contact because of her emotions.
Yeah.
And so she did that a lot with Tristan. Like, he was always rubbing her and mm-hmm. holding her and hugging her, and she sat on his lap and all of that. But that they were all just platonic, and I wonder if maybe in a book that's going to be like, yeah. never mind, they're not platonic anymore.
I love, she sets it up for at least, I could see five different stories coming out of, like, five different books coming out
of
it.
Oh, and things we don't even know. There's so much.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, like, just the couples alone. Oh, yeah. The couplings. So good. Alone. It's real good. Mm. So, yeah. All right.
Alrighty. You should rate this book.
Let's, do you want to do the fun fuck fact? Or did you already sort of did it?
Oh, I kind of said the fun fuck fact. Yeah. That was our fun fuck fact in, when I was talking about orgasm gap.
Okay.
Orgasm gap.
And that was from Bustle. All right, good. All right, well, then rating.
Oh, shh. I know, right?
My phone's down there.
Yeah. We're bad.
I write it down. It specifically says rating on my book, and then I never, ever have it ready.
I don't write notes.
I don't know.
All right.
Stop doing that.
I think this is... it's a solid... fuck me. 9.
That's a 9.
It's a 9.
That's a 9.
On both book and sex scenes. I mean, it's just fuck me. I was so... Now, it hit, like, I read this book in my pre-period week.
Okay.
Like, I should be having my period at any time, which is when I also do get my horniest. God, it's so stupid how horny I get right before my period. Yeah. I get really angry about that. Because I'm like, this is not the time. And I'm horny. And I also hate the world. It's a real weird time, guys. I don't know why those coincide, because I do get mad at everybody, and then I'm also like, fuck me.
Yep.
So there's a chance that because I was in that receptive mm-hmm. state, that I love this book even more, but I think it's a solid 9.
No, I think you're about right. Really... I think you're about right. I'm there with the book. I'm like, shit, like 9.5 for the book, like the mm-hmm. the story, the plot, the characters. I fucking love this book, and I'm about 8.5 for the sex, and that's mm-hmm. a super squishy, so on average that's a 9 for me too, and that's a fucking mm-hmm. 9. Mm. So no, I hear you, sister.
Mm-hmm. so good, made me so horny.
So good. Yeah, for our next book we are going to be reading Skinwalker by Faith Hunter, narrated by Christine
Rom. Sorry. We'll know how to say it once we listen to her say it in the book.
H-V-A-M. Yes, right? Rom.
Yeah.
We apologize. We're so sorry. We'll
figure it out.
Yeah.
By the episode.
Yeah. Rom.
But yeah, we're doing an audiobook again. We're going back to the audio. And yeah, Skinwalker. We're excited. This one looks like a book, a female-oriented, you know, centered book where mm-hmm. the main character, it's driven.
Yeah.
The main character is a strong warrior woman, I think.
Yeah.
I think so. I think she's going to kill some shit.
I love it.
And I kind of need a woman to go around killing some shit right now.
I'm all about it.
It's going to make me happy. So, here comes that. We'll catch you next week.
Wow, you really have forgotten how to do this.
I don't know how to podcast.
Now, this is where you say,
oh,
visit us at...
So you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Dirty Books with 3 H's, S-H-H-H, Dirty Books, on all the platforms that we know of and understand how to use.
And you can find us at our blog, our website at dirtybooks.com. And we're also on Goodreads. We have a group there if you guys want to come join it. It's called Reading Dirty Books. And
we don't know how to do groups on Goodreads yet. So, I mean, we have one, but we're not sure.
We don't know how to, like, run it.
Well, we don't know what'll happen if you show up.
That's true. So if you're there, just hello.
Say hi and tell us what we need to be doing.
Yeah, we don't know what we're doing. And then find us on any platform you would find podcasts. We will be there. So, yep.
At least all the free ones.
That's true.
I can't guarantee any of the ones you have to pay for.
Yeah, I don't think we're not on Spotify or
Stitcher, shit like that. Sorry, guys.
We don't have any money.
We don't.
Okay. So.
All right. Yep. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Where's Hot Officer Johnny?
Oh, Johnny. Officer Johnny.
Yeah, you've been listening to Reading Dirty Books with Galena and Saylette. Be sure to tune into the next episode. Some more of your dirty books read to you. And if you're listening on a format that allows you to give a rating, please do that for them.
We'd like to thank Jim Townsend for that sexy music and amazing introductions.